Welcome to Flipping the Script. I'm Lindsay Cuiava, your host and the artistic director of Re Theater, an online theater and education consulting company. Each week, we bring you new episodes about the theater world and theater education in an effort to revolutionize the way that theater is seen at the school and community level and inspire you to make art that matters wherever you may be. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us. This is a really awesome podcast episode for so many reasons. This week, I am joined by Jamie Ann Burke. I met Jamie at the New Jersey Thespians Festival, which turned out to be like one of my favorite festivals I've been to. Actually, my favorite, because there were so many awesome people that I was able to meet there. But Jamie is the owner of Thespian Heart Clothing, and she has an absolutely incredible story as a female actor, and just a crazy awesome journey. And today she's going to share a lot of insight into her journey and the reason behind why she created Thespian Heart Clothing. If you haven't heard of Thespian Heart Clothing, this is not an ad, because that's not what she paid me for. This is like me as Lindsay plugging something. Thespian Heart Clothing is one of my favorite online clothing places that I found. What I love about Jamie's work is she believes that putting positive mantras in front of us all the time actually help us create these positive ideas about ourselves. And as we all know, working in theater is like a very emotionally taxing and draining industry, especially if you are an actor. If you're a young actor, a lot of the listeners are younger. And it's just really positive, uplifting mantras and ideas. And so my favorite shirt that I have from Jamie is "Take a seat at the table, not at the couch," which I was like, oh my gosh, heck yes, that's so my jam. But Jamie's going to talk a lot about self-care and the importance behind having a positive mental mindset and why this is extremely important for young people. I hope that you guys really enjoyed this episode. I think that Jamie has a lot of absolutely incredible advice to give. And this episode we've specifically aired it during May because it is National Mental Health Awareness Month. And I think in here, she gives a lot of great insight into like what it is like as a person to struggle with depression, to struggle with other mental health illnesses, and how we can take care of ourselves and the things that you can do to help yourself, especially if you're working in the arts with all this. So I'm super excited for you guys to check it out. Okay, enjoy today's episode. Bye. Hey, Jamie, I'm so glad you're here today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me, Lindsay.
This is kind of fun. Like, I mean, I'm in Seattle and you're in New York and we're able to make this work. So,
wow. Technology, man. Technology. I know.
I'm really just excited to have you come and talk about Thespian Heart Clothing and just like the work that you do, because I think it's super inspirational for young artists and for just theater makers everywhere. So I can't wait to dive into all that. But before we do, do you want to go ahead and just like introduce yourself to the audience a little bit?
Wow. Okay, sure. My name is Jamie Ann Burke. I met you because I was promoting Thespian Heart Clothing
In
New Jersey.
Yep.
At the Thespian Festival. They found me because my clothing name is Thespian Heart. I think having the art of an artist and art, the heart of a thespian is something strong, something brave, something to aspire to. So that's why I named my company that. I think people who are willing to sacrifice their like anonymity to be brave and put themselves out there, put the emotions out there, are some of the people that I admire the most, because it's not easy. It takes a lot of courage to be a thespian, to be an actor, to be any kind of artist in that world, to show, to tell a story takes a lot of courage. And I just aspire to encourage people who want to do that, who want to pursue that route.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that, oh man, that's so true. Like, this industry is so hard to work in, and you do have to wear your heart on your sleeve so much. And I think that, I mean, we'll obviously talk a lot more about thespian heart as we clothing as we go through this. But I think that what I love about the art that you've created through this, through your company especially, is that it's just such great reminders of why we do what we do. And yeah. I mean, it's right in front of you, so you can't really deny it, which is awesome.
Yes, yes. And as an actor myself, that's what I was, sometimes you get bogged down with the nitty-gritty of being an actor, like taking classes or going to auditions or getting rejected or doing your day job, and you sometimes forget why you wanted to be an actor in the first place, like how you wanted to tell stories, how you wanted to grow as a person, how you wanted to expand and expand your world or tell people stories who hadn't been told or just have fun, you know? And
right.
And I wanted to remind people and remind myself, like most of these things I do are just for myself. Because, you know, remind myself, Jamie, it's okay. This is, you know, like you want to do this, you know, stop going through life with this trepidation, this fear and doubt, and just kind of go and have fun and be yourself. People like you when you're yourself. People don't like when you're afraid or scared or timid or just self-doubting yourself. It doesn't really match. So, these shirts are reminders for myself as well.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's great. I mean, I think that one of the things a business coach of mine always says is that your mess is your message. And yes. That I think that that's such a, like, whenever we're creating art, it's a little, it has a lot of us in it. And it's a good reminder for us all, like what we're dealing with, or like the things that we're thinking about, and yeah. Other people are thinking them too, or need those exactly. words too.
Exactly. And sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm just going to put myself on the line. And you know, there, I put on one of my mirrors, I am enough in lipstick, like wrote it, I am enough. Because that is one of the things that most people who commit suicide or have problems, they don't think they're enough. They have, like, that's the underlining message that they have, you know, in themselves. And a lot of times, if I'm feeling down, if I look through all the layers of why am I mad? Oh, it's this job or this or that or that. It's not really any of those things. It's like somehow I don't think I'm enough. And so I wrote that on my mirror. And I took a picture of it. I put it on, I think, Instagram or Facebook store or something. And someone's like, oh, like, so sad. And I was like, no, it's okay. Like, I'm putting it out there because I want other people to write it themselves so they also know. Because people may be secretive about it. Like, oh, sometimes I don't feel good enough or worthy enough. And I don't feel like that a lot of times. And so, and it's okay. That's just, you know, there's a lot of messages coming at us. And so I want... And everyone has these times when you don't feel your best. And so I want people to know it's okay and you can get out of it. There's definitely methods to get out of that funk. Yeah.
Yeah. I love so much of what you just said. And I think it's really important to acknowledge that it's not like we all do have those times. Some people more than others, and that it's not something to be ashamed of. So I think when we assign that shame to it is when we give it all the power and the ability to like take over what we're doing and to control who we are and the actions that we take.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Even writing that on your mirror was a huge like rebellious act against that voice in your head or that part of you that's like, oh, you aren't good enough. And you're like, I will show you now. Here we go.
Yeah. And anytime I look at the mirror, look at myself, instead of being like, oh, you're too fat, you're too thin, you're too old, you're too, you know, whatever. I've never said I'm too young, I guess. But I have said I'm too old, you know, and just like, wait a minute, hold on. You know, when you look back when you're 50, you're going to be like, damn, you looked hot. So just stop it. Just be like, okay, I'm good as I am now, you know, because it's so funny. We like rip ourselves to shreds. And then when you look back, you're like, oh my God, I was so cute back then. And you're like,
oh my
but
gosh.
If you went back then, you were like, you didn't treat yourself like you were cute. That's for sure.
Yeah. No, that's so funny because I was just looking at some, yesterday I did a podcast with a friend of mine from college. And so I was like looking for some images that we could, like I could put for the episode. And I was looking and I was like, man, I used to think that like, I just looked ridiculous in college, but my skin was like, so like aww. Nice. And I used to like be so on myself or like on my hair. And I was like, man, I should have just like taken advantage of it when I was that like is my case. Like, and now I'm just like, have to like, you know, do all the things you have to do to, keep yourself up, which is also like a terrible thing to say because there's, you don't have to do those things. That's like,
you don't have
a
to,
message.
But honestly,
right.
When you turn 50 or 60, you're going to look back and be like, oh my God, all I had to do was put on lotion, makeup, da-da, instead of like whatever else you have to do when you're 60 or 70, you know?
So. I'm hoping it just like saves me from, you know, some like, I don't know, who knows, like plastic surgery, which I don't think I would ever do. I think my husband would just like be like, absolutely, you are not. So, but yeah, no, I mean, it's like those like self-care things, but I think that's so true. Like we don't like appreciate who we are in the moment when we are there. Yeah. And I like that your shirts, like, and I mean, all the apparel that you make, like it just really brings it back into focus of like, this is the now and this is why I do what I do. So I love him. So what inspired you, or I guess like what was the journey that you took through the industry, like to like be you're an actress and then all you created this company, like what was your journey that brought you to creating Thespian Heart Clothing?
I think it was a long journey because I started out as an engineer in college, UCLA, and I graduated with an electrical engineering degree. Computer science option. Yeah, so I was big into like coding and just being a nerd. So it was great.
I
loved it. And but when I started working, I actually worked as a consultant and I realized that was not my passion. I realized I was sitting at my desk like every day, like, why am I on this earth to do this job? Like, I don't really want to do it. I don't feel like I'm making a difference. I don't feel like this is making me happy. It was nice because I had enough money to do all the stuff that I wanted to do.
Right.
That part was great. But everything else, I'm like, when I die, am I going to be like, oh, that was a good investment. Like I really spent my time wisely. Mm-hmm, no. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to think of the only times in my life that I really felt happy or excited. And I remember one acting class I took. And back in junior high, I think. And it was just fun. I was pretending to be my grandma, like just kind of doing a comedy on stage and people were laughing. And I was like, woo, like it was just fun. So I was like, let me just do that. Oh, that's easy. I was completely wrong. It was not easy. I was not equipped to be an actress.
Yeah. Like I think that's so funny because yesterday I was talking to a teacher who is working on like revamping their program and because all the kids are all the football kids take her class because they think it's going to be an easy grade. And I was like, well, theater should never be an easy grade. So like, let's actually like make it so that they're doing hard stuff. Cause it's so much harder than it looks. And that's what
so
I love when people
harder.
Are like, theater isn't that
so
hard.
Much
Acting
harder.
Isn't that hard.
I did a bunch of things. I went to Paris and I did New York Film Academy there. And I was doing the filmmaking program, but I also acted in my film. And I had, like, the emotions inside me, but I'm like, why are they not showing up on screen? Like, it just didn't make sense. I couldn't do it. I was like, I'm really acting, I think, but I couldn't portray any emotions.
Right. No, oh, my gosh. I so feel that.
That's like, I was like, what is happening? And then, you know, then I fast forward, I quit my job, and then I was like, just in LA, just trying anything. Back when Craigslist actually had acting jobs, I was like, okay, just going out for everything, just doing whatever I could. I was just like really like almost sleeping in my car because I was driving anywhere at any time, doing auditions, whatever it took.
Oh my gosh.
I was really out there, even like extra work, being on set, whatever it took, I was just trying to get out there. And that was years and years of that. And then eventually I started getting better, taking better classes, just learning, getting more comfortable. Not all the way, just better and better. Uh-huh. But then I felt when I was getting better, And I was maybe booking stuff or getting close. They have a thing like callbacks, and then they have putting on a veil. And a veil is like when you're almost there, like you're like one of the last couple people that they're choosing for like a commercial or something or a TV show. But then if you don't get it, I found myself getting really angry. Actually, I felt myself getting angry even if I got a callback. Like I was just, there was a perpetual fear and anger that I was having. And I just needed to figure out why I was always angry. And this is supposed to be fun. And the closer you get, the more angry I felt I was getting. So I just fast forward through a lot of stuff. This was to help me remember the reasons why I started doing acting. I want to look at everyone as a collaborator. There's this thing in the acting industry where, like, everyone's above you. Like, the directors, producers are like, oh, bow down to them. They're so high and mighty because they can hire you, blah, blah, blah. But if you start looking at them as collaborators, you have a much more wonderful experience. You're actually working with them. You can give your ideas. You don't feel this fear, this, oh, my God, are they going to fire me? You just don't have, you have the more self-confidence, but that takes a lot of work to develop that self-confidence. And I almost think you need to get away from the industry for a while in order to develop that confidence, because it takes a lot of, I like to say brainwashing, but it takes a lot of repetition, almost like doing a lot of push-ups. But those push-ups instead are your positive self thoughts. Like, who am I? Like, okay, I am a great actress. I am a interesting performer. I am a strong person. I'm important. Stuff like that, to really stop thinking of other people as above you and just think of yourself as important. So, I mean, I had some great experiences where I actually felt very strong. Like I did this here in New York. I did this actually my first time doing a TV show, which was awesome. And
what show was it?
It was called FBI. It's a new show. I was playing like a victim who gets like the knife to her throat, and it was like the standoff at the end between the main villain and the main good guy, and da da da. And it was great. It was really awesome. But they had all these stunts that I wasn't aware of, where someone was supposed to run into me, and she was really short, and I'm really tall, so she kept running, and she like would flip me over. Like everyone was like, I mean, you have hundreds of people looking at me, also like 200 extras. Everyone's like watching me as I like splat on my face like 3 or 4 times. And I'm not supposed to fall, but I'm falling everywhere. The director's like, can we change her out? Like, what is going on? But it was because I had been doing so much work on myself. Like, I'm a great actress. I know what I'm doing. I'm strong. These are my collaborators, blah, blah. I didn't feel scared, even in the face of him saying, like, we gotta, like, get this girl out of here. And then because of that, I didn't panic. I wasn't, like, all into, like, oh my God. Like, literally, some people helped me. They're, like, the bad guy, actually, who put the knife to my throat. He's, like, just really hold on to me so when she falls into you, you don't fall. And it was something that I would have never planned for. I wasn't planning to fall. But, but yeah, and everything worked out. And, yeah, they didn't fire me. I was in the TV show, and it was really cool. It was cool to be on set. But I realized in that moment, it was great to feel strong and happy and not angry or scared, because I had been working on myself, you know, previously, just like every day, like, you know, working on forgiveness. Forgiveness was a huge thing. You got to forgive almost everybody. You got to forgive people who say, like, an off comment, you know, people who say things that are not, they don't think it's a mean thing. Like one time I played Guinevere, Queen Guinevere in a theater program, a theater show. And it was awesome. But I mean, some girl made an offhanded comment. She's like, one guy said, like, you can't play Guinevere, you're black. I was like, what? I'm like, okay, this is theater. And, these aren't real people. And so he said that. And so, you know, you have to, like, let that go. And some other girl said later, because the newspaper had written about us and they specifically said me by name, like, that I was delightful or something. And another girl, she was my friend. She was awesome. And she was just like, oh, I guess he likes black people. I was like, what?
What?
You know, because I was the only black person in that production. I mean, I was like, I would hope he liked my performance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but those are the kind of things, they didn't mean it, you know, poorly, or, I mean, they're just saying stuff, but it's these little comments that people say that could really get under your skin if you let it. And, you know, for me, I have to literally, like, last summer, go outside and just forgive, which just means I loose and let go, I let go and trust. You just, like, repeat that over and over. I loose and let go and trust, loose and let go and trust. And just let go of it. Like, I have to let go of it. I don't have to say anything directly to the person who said something to me, but I need to not let it run a circle in my mind. Otherwise, I get handicapped. Otherwise, I waste my time getting mad. So that's one of the biggest things. I think I spoke to the kids about forgiveness. But yeah, one of the biggest things for me was forgiveness, because I was letting things people said run a circle in my mind over and over and over, and I couldn't stop. And I had to forgive it. I had to let it go.
And how that's awesome. I think you're right. That forgiveness is one of the most important things that we can have as people. And I know I'm really bad at it. Like, it's something I'm still working on.
Oh my God.
At times I can't, like, I'm really good. Like, if it's like a student that says something, it's fine. But if it's like a person that like a peer, because I look really young for my age, and I'm not the most eloquent speaker of all time. And so, like, as soon as anybody will like comment on any of that, I've always felt like really, like, I just have really bad imposter syndrome always. And so as soon as anybody says anything that like pokes at any of that insecurity I have, I just immediately am like, nope, I'm done with you. I can't. And it was like a defense mechanism, but it just makes you like angry and like fester. And it's so disgusting.
Oh God. Here's this book that I was reading. Not just me. It was, I guess I should read it. The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity by Catherine Ponder.
Okay.
And chapter 3 is all about forgiveness.
Huh.
And it's actually about, it's called the vacuum law of prosperity. So vacuum, just think of a black hole, like there's nothing in it. Or maybe think of a vacuum that you clean all the mess up. So when you're forgiving, in a way, you're cleaning all that mess out. So new thoughts could be in your head.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was the single most thing that I remember in this book. Just, it's just life-changing, because just little things. I mean, anyone could say something mean. A friend, my boyfriend, anyone could say something that either really irritates me, and I could let it just waste my time as I get mad about it. It was nothing to them. Like, it was just an offhanded comment. They just said it carelessly, but they don't know what's my background. They don't know that would hurt my feelings. They are not trying to be malicious. They just said something. But I let it fester inside. And if I don't forgive, and forgiveness doesn't just take one time. I found if someone said something that really hurts me, like, I would have to like go on multiple walks and just be, when it comes up and I'm like, ugh, then I'm like, nope, let it go. Loose and let go and trust. I let it go. I send you to your highest good. Just kind of anytime that thought comes back, you know, you just kind of say it again until after a while you're like, why was I mad again? I don't really remember. Or you remember the story, but the emotion isn't there anymore. Like, the anger isn't there. You're just like, oh yeah, like, I could tell you the story because it doesn't hurt my feelings that she said that, you know, you can't do this because you're black, or da 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 da. Like, those, it's just like a story now. It doesn't, like, I don't feel like, oh, I can't, but like, I don't feel angry about it anymore. I just think like, wow, that was interesting.
No, I think that, I think that's so, so important. I'm thinking like through like the people that I work with and just some situations that have come up in the last like year or so. And it's so easy to just get bogged down in that negativity. And because when you get, and I also feel like when you get there, then you start to see people as malicious and as always trying to hurt you. And I honestly don't believe that that is the case. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I think that, like, especially as, like, other actors or other artists talking to each other, I think sometimes our own ego just says stupid things that come out of our mouth or we don't think. Because we're just, like, sometimes, like, in our own world.
Absolutely.
And if we always, like, operate from the mode of people are trying to hurt me, people aren't trying to help me, blah, 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 then we just get so negative and you can't create anything good if you're angry and just negative all the time.
Yeah, and when you start thinking that, that's all you see. What's the word? I think Tony Robbins was talking about the reticular activating. Oh, God, it's a part of your brain, was it? It's a part of your brain that, you know, you see things that you think about. So if you get a new shiny red car, all of a sudden you're going to see that red car everywhere. Like, you have that car and I have that car. Like, we all have this car. Like, it's amazing. It's everywhere. Like, you just see it, which is the fun part about it. But if you think about something bad, like everyone's out to get me, anytime anybody does anything negative, you'll be like, see, there it goes again. And you'll just notice it. It'll become a bigger spotlight in your life. Yeah. And I've felt that multiple times.
Yeah. No. So I'm curious about so you talked a little bit about the, like, going on a walk and just saying, I let this go, that sort of thing. Like, what are your other steps what was your evolution into, like, figuring out how to actually give that forgiveness, or, like, what are things that people can do that they in their own life to start practicing that?
I believe the first step is awareness. I believe actually the first step before that is you have to kind of take kind of responsibility for your own life. That's the first thing. So once you say, I'm in charge of my life, or I blame myself, not I blame myself sounds bad, but I'm in charge of my life, I'm in charge of my thoughts, I think that's the first step. So no one can force me to think things I don't want to think. I'm complete control of my thoughts. That's the first thing. And then you have to take that awareness of, oh, a negative thought's coming. Like, it could be an innocent thought, like, oh, my agent never sends me out. But how many times do you think that? My agent never sends me out. All the time, you might say it 50,000 times. And then you'll just start noticing that you'll never be going out at all. And then you have to be like, oh, those are my thoughts. I'm thinking that. I'm creating that. So when you take that awareness factor, then boom, start saying, hey, let me erase that thought and try to replace it with a new one. My agent's really great. My agent works hard for me. You know, just try to replace that negative thought with something better. And if it's something someone actually did bad to you, then I would just say, just do the chant of, I release, I loose everything that's happening. I let go. And I let go, and I trust that everything else will come back. So I just say, loose and let go and trust. And then you say, I send you to your best or to your goodness, and I send me to mine. So you could say any variation of that you want, but just kind of, I let everything go. I let it go. I let it go. I let it go. And I send you to your best. I send you to the best. I wish you the best. I hope for the best. For you and for me, and I'm moving on. And then it'll come up again, a little bit less, not as painful. Oh, damn it. Okay, it's coming up again. That thought is coming up again. Oh, I let it go. And you have to, like, take a deep breath and, like, blow it out, because you're just, like, physicalizing. I'm letting it go. I'm making that active step to let it go. Do again, you know. Oh, it comes up again. An hour later, oh, it's okay. Let it go. Forgive yourself. It's okay. It comes up. Nothing's wrong with you. Don't beat yourself up for, you know, having a bad thought. Just keep going. Yeah. Just let it go. And then after a while, you'll be like, oh, whoa. It doesn't feel so bad anymore. I don't feel bad about it at all. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that step, because, Yeah, I mean, I will definitely going to be using these as you're talking. I was just writing them down because I was like, I want to make sure I can use these too. I think especially for young actors, this is so freaking important. Because you're going to get mad at your teacher or at your director or at your classmates or at your peers. And if you don't, you just got to get out of that cycle. And this is also how you're going to make sure that you are mentally prepared to take on this industry. This industry is so much more than being able to go on stage and have awesome stage presence and being able to sing and dance and act. Like, because everybody that is in the industry that is having even minor success can do those things. I feel like it's so much about mentality and the energy and just the way that you create your art. That's how you have success.
Because you could be on set thinking, oh my gosh, I look like a fool. Oh my God, I look like a fool because the PA is staring at me weird. Instead of thinking, what is my character doing in this moment? How is she reacting in this moment? Da, 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 da. And so you're already going to have a worse performance because you're not focused all the way.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, yeah. I think so many people have that. Gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I don't know. It's like my biggest pet peeve when you can tell somebody isn't fully present, but they have such great stage presence that they can fool you with it.
I guess,
and I see that all the time with young people because, like, I know that I've said something that irritated them, but then they go on stage and I'm like, you're not fully present, but you're fooling everybody because you're so, and so I think that that's really important. Like, this is a great way then to also make sure that you're staying present and acting and not just on stage pantomiming or emoting, and actually responding genuinely. So I love that. So before we started the podcast, we had chatted about some other things. So I think this forgiveness piece is huge. But what else do you think, like, for, like, young actors or even not young actors, people in general, like, in order to be able to survive this industry or any industry, really, like, what are other tools that you think people need?
Well, this is what I'm learning now. So this is kind of new for me. It's kind of goals and direction, you know, cause as an actor, for sure, you're just like, I'll just wait for that phone call. And they're like, what kind of actor are you? What do you want to do? Anything. Cause I can do anything. So you just have this, very broad, I had this very broad definition of what I wanted to do, you know, and so it's kind of, it wasn't very laser focused. And I think it's better, and I'm just learning about this now, because for so many years, you could just wait for the phone to ring and something will come and it'll be like, all right. But I think it's better to have an ideal that you strive for. And yeah, you'll pick up different jobs along the way that won't be perfect or whatever, but you do them, you meet new people and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's really, really important to have an ideal that you strive for and to have a plan. And so the plan could be, what am I going to do every day to achieve that goal? So one of the things for me is like, okay, well, one of my goals, my ideal, let's say, would be to be like an action superhero, but like a villain.
Oh my gosh, that'd be amazing.
So that'd be awesome. So some of the things I would do every day would be like working out. You know, I do Krav Maga, a lot of punching, kicking, getting my body ready. You know, if that call comes, I'm ready. I'm already there. I'm already the superhero person. but maybe it's something as easy as a lot of acting classes are once a week. And sometimes people only practice acting once a week. But maybe you would do something different, like you would have a warm-up routine that you do every day when you wake up. Maybe it's 5-10 minutes just to get your body working. Maybe you read out loud every day just to get yourself used to your own voice and, you know, ready. That's something I need to get back into. It really changes things. One of the things that I've started doing the last couple weeks has been self-taping myself. So a lot of the industry is into self-taping now. You could have an audition, you know, in across the country, across the world, and you just have to tape yourself. But a lot of times we wait until someone else gives us that opportunity to self-tape, when you can easily go online, get a script, get some sides, maybe get a friend, a camera, and just tape yourself. So you know what you look like on self-tape. You know what you can improve on. You know how your character is coming across. And so when the time does come, when you get a real audition, you will know exactly what you need to do. You will know your process. You'll know how long it takes you to memorize everything. You'll just know what you are bringing to the table because you've already practiced it. It wouldn't be like, oh my God, should I cancel everything I have to do today because it might take me all day to memorize a script. You'll already know, okay, it takes me 3 hours to do this kind of script. I need to follow this process. I need to do this warm up. I need to memorize this way. You'll already know. And so I think those are some kind of things that could be part of your plan to get you there. Also, of course, marketing, figure out a way that's effective marketing. And I think it would be better to look outside the entertainment industry for that. I would say just look at people who do sales and marketing like for a living and maybe implement their tactics, how they write emails, how they do phone calls, and see if you get better results. Because a lot of people who tell you how to do stuff in the industry may not know the best ways. So I would say a lot of times look outside the industry for what other people in other industries are doing and then incorporate that into the entertainment industry and see if just bringing something new. Yeah.
Yeah, so. I think that's really true. You have to, I think everybody has a specialty. And in this industry, our specialty is probably not social media or branding or marketing. So, I mean, go find those people that do that. I mean, that's why the other, like on the flip side, like I used to work at a company and we did storytelling workshops for like major tech corporations because we were actors and we knew how to tell stories. And so we could help them on that marketing end of like the storytelling piece. Right. So I think that that's really important. Like, don't just get so... I think that we get blinders on a lot of times in the industry. I think in any industry that this is only the world and which is what we see. And there's so much more out there. Even thinking like when you were talking about like creating your ideal, I love that. And I think that's so, so important. Like that idea of like manifesting and getting really clear on that. I think that stuff's all awesome. And I think that you can start it at any age. But I think, but you have to, like you were talking about, like, doing Krav Maga, like, that's huge. Like, that's not necessarily, like, a theater thing. But it's something, it's a skill that you need if you want to get your ideal. And it, I think it also helps you constantly be keeping your body, not in shape, but, like, in that mindset of this is my goal. Because I see from young, especially with young actors or just actors, like, that maybe aren't doing this full time, or I guess performers, that... they think that, like, they have, like, this very narrow idea of what they have to do. And it's so funny. Like, I work with teenagers, so they're just delightful. Actually, I do really like working with teenagers. But they get to this, like, age where it's, like, their sophomore to senior year. They become almost impossible. Because they're like, I think I know everything. Like, I don't need to practice. I don't need to, I already know everything there is to know. Like, why should I take voice lessons? Why should I listen to my director who knows less than me? Why would I practice my lines outside of rehearsal? And I'm like, because if you want to do this, that's what this is.
I mean, and a lot of my life, I think, is I'm trying to rectify some regrets that I had early on because I used to play the flute, I think, fourth grade or fifth grade, sixth grade. And I had that same mentality. Why would I ever practice? I played basketball. I never practiced besides the actual practice days. Because, of course, yeah, I knew everything back then. at that age, you just know everything. And then when you get a little older, you're like, oh, I didn't know everything. Because there are other people, You're like, they're just better. Well, no one is just better. They're actually putting in a lot more hours. A lot of people in my Krav Maga are like, oh, wow. You know, you've been here for a long time. You've been just doing this a lot. Yeah, I'm, you know, I've been here for a couple months, but I also like wake up in the morning and do like some exercises and like I practice for the practice. You know, you got to practice for the practice. Otherwise, you're just stumbling in front of everybody, which is fine, but then go home, take what you learned in class and practice that and come back a better version of yourself when you get back to class. Don't try to just have all your growth in that hour. You know, have some more growth outside of that. But yeah, it's hard to say that to a kid because, yeah, they do know everything. Trust me, you're going to get to be my age and be like, oh, crap.
Exactly. But we all were there. And you have to go through that. And I think I also find it interesting that I know a lot of like people like our age and adults who don't do that work either, though. Like they get into that mindset. And I think it happens a lot for artists because like so much of the work that we put out there is so personal and we're being personally like judged, quote unquote, for what we do, that we like protect ourselves and we get into that expert mentality and we don't actually do the work to grow and to find out what the next step is for
us. It's hard to grow because no one likes to feel dumb and no one likes to feel like they're struggling. That's why I made, as I told you, that memorization packet, because that was one of my biggest problems. I mean, I even went to different, you know, talkbacks at Juilliard and Yale, and I would ask them, like, what do you do to help people memorize better? They're like, I don't know. They had no idea. They just like,
I mean, I say that all the time too. I'm like, I don't know. You just have to memorize it.
Just memorize. And literally nobody knows. So I took it upon myself to do some research because I was like, I'm having a real big problem with this. Like all my words are switching. Like, I don't know. Is my brain broken? What is going on? And so I found a couple of different techniques and I kind of just put it together in a nice, fun way that makes memorizing easy and fun and not like a struggle, because there's a clear path to do it from not knowing it to clearly memorizing it and also word perfectly instead of like an estimate of what you think is happening. And so I had to kind of develop that for myself because I was having such a hard time. And it's something you also have to practice. It's not a magic pill. It's a process. And then, you know, like any workout, you do it over and over and then it becomes you. And this one is a process that you could just do it anytime you want to learn some size or some lines and boom, after a while, you'll just do it easily and it won't be like, oh, I have to memorize something. Yes. Great. I'm excited about it because it's fun. You know, it's not like, oh no, why?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. No, we need to, you're going to send me some information. We're recording this a few weeks before the episode comes out. So in the intro, I will have given you the way that you can check this out. But I think that this is so freaking important. And what a great resource for teachers that are listening or for young people. Like, go check this out. And remember, it's one person's process. It might not totally work for you, but maybe it can be a springboard for you to then figure out your own method.
And I think that what you just said is the heart of everything. There's so many people who have processes, ways to do things, acting method. Oh, do you use the Meisner technique? You have to look at all those techniques as Meisner's process. That's just the process he used, and you have to customize it to yourself. So you can take my memorization method, you can, you know, try to follow the whole thing, or maybe you're like, this doesn't work, and you can put in your own part or add something more and make it your own. Like, you don't need to put anyone on a pedestal like, I have to do this perfectly because I'm a disciple of this person. No, you could just, everything is customizable to yourself so that it works for you. So I think that's what people need to understand.
Yeah. I think, that's so, so very true. And if you don't have, if you don't have that drive to like a personal development or personal growth, then you're not going to find it.
Absolutely.
And And you have to do that. I think it's so important, no matter, I mean, obviously I think it's important for once you get out of school, especially because you don't have that constant like rigor or schedule. But I think for everybody, for teachers, for young people, for parents, like it is so important to have that growth mentality ingrained in your daily routine, in the way that you are approaching your life, because otherwise you will not go anywhere.
Yeah, you have to think to yourself, did I do the best I could possibly do? And if the answer is yes, then you did great. Then that is exactly what you want to do. You want to live your life day by day. Did I live my life today the best I could do? Did I wash the dishes the best I could? Did I work out the best I could? Or did I just phone it in, you know? Because that adds up after a while. So you just want to do everything, every little thing, the best I, did I have this conversation the best I could? Or was I like really checking my phone the whole time? Like, what was that, you know, was that, you know, did I do the best I could? It's a good question to ask yourself, you know?
Oh yeah. I think that I love this because, okay. So did you always have this mindset or was this something that, okay. So how did you come into this process?
Oh, yeah. I was sitting in an acting workshop and this lady was talking about people who have the it factor. And I was like, what? I don't get it. Like, why are they famous? Like, why are they?
Yeah. Oh, my
this?
Gosh. Right.
Yeah.
I think that all the time. I'm like, why is this person famous?
Exactly. I was like, I'm so confused. And she was saying some answer. It was about more their inner beliefs. And I was like, inner what? What are you like? Like, I don't get it. And then I just started looking up kind of inner self-help or so. I don't know what exactly I was typing into Google at the time or into YouTube. But I came across Bob Proctor. And Bob Proctor was my first intro to anything that had to do with thoughts or designing your life based on your thoughts. The first thing he said that was like, whoa. He was like, most people tiptoe through life hoping to make it safely to death. And I was like, what?
Oh, my gosh. That's a terrifying statement.
It's terrifying, right? Like living your life in fear so much that, oh, thank God I died safely. Like you're still going to die. So that gives you like that impetus like, oh, I need to try to do the best I can. I need to live the best I can, even if it even if I have some pain with failure, even if I have some pain with people looking at me funny or not understanding what I'm doing, maybe that little pain is not even comparable to the pain of regret when you're on your deathbed and you're like, oh, I didn't even try. I wish I had tried. I probably could have done it. At least if you try, even if you fail, you'd be like, well, I did the best I could. I'll try again next life.
Right.
Yeah, so he was the first one, and he was talking just a lot of stuff about your thoughts and why you are at certain places based on your thoughts. And a lot of it was repetition of your thoughts. What we think about most of the time we become. And I was like, oh, okay. And just that first lesson with Bob Proctor, I was listening to him all the time, every day. And that's when I started to tell myself, oh, I'm the best actress in the world. I'm the best actress in the world. I was brainwashing myself. Like, I'm the best actress in the world. And that caused me to do certain actions. So I would email, like, I got a list of all these people's email. I just emailed them, like, I want to be in your movie or whatever. And that's when this guy, he was the director of The Secret, Drew Harriet. That's when he was like, hey, you kind of look like this lady who I'm shooting. Maybe you could do an audition. He was all the way in Amsterdam and I'm in America. And he's like, oh, maybe you can do this audition and maybe, you know, see if you could be in this role. And, you know, I had to do all these emotions. He asked me a whole bunch of questions, like, oh, can you do this certain Rwandan accent? And I was, you know, usually I'd be like, no, I can't do it. No, I don't know it. I just said slyly, like, oh, yeah, I do accents. I had done a Jamaican accent, like one line in a play. But, you know, the thought that I was the best actress in the world had just compelled me just to keep that part vague.
Yes, yes.
And then fast forward a couple months, I think, going back and forth, auditioning with him over, you know, sending him tapes and just online and on Skype and all this stuff. And then eventually he emailed me. He had to fight with his producers, too, because they're like, we want a real Rwandan. This is about the Rwandan genocide. We want someone real. And they had real people auditioning. And then here am I, like some American, like, hey, you know, trying to like come in there. And finally he won. He had to take out a couple shots to be able to afford to fly me out to Amsterdam to film that. But we did it. We filmed it. It's a great movie. And I was like, wow, that was the like time in my life that I absolutely remember being so brainwashed on how good of acting of an actor I was. Like,
that's amazing, though.
Yeah, it was the most, like, I would say to date, like, the most amazing thing that happened, because I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was the best. And like, in maybe reality, that was absolutely not true. But in my mind, it was completely true. Like, I just remember my friend Heather was talking, and she's like, oh, this girl's a really good actress. And I was thinking, wait, what? I'm the best actress in the world. Like, it was so in my brain
that's
that
amazing.
I was the best, that it was just like coming out of me. My mistake, and a warning to everyone else, like when everything happened and it was so amazing and we did this movie and we had to like travel around the world and like talk about it, I stopped doing my brainwashing sessions with myself, and in a sense, stopped working out, you know, because I'm like, oh, cool, everyone else can get it, and like everything will just snowball. But it didn't, because it stopped my original thing. So if you start, I like to say brainwashing, because it's like cleaning your brain of all the like negative things and like putting some nice smelling thoughts in there.
Oh, I like that analogy. Great.
So I like to say brainwashing. So if you stop brainwashing yourself, it will go really badly. So don't stop.
No, it's so true, though. Like, I've done that too, where I'll like be like totally killing it and like, oh my gosh, I'm so, like, it's all going good. And then I just like start getting focused on how good it is and stop doing the like fresh, like the personal development stuff. And then it's like, my life just falls apart.
You're like, oh, wait a minute. Wait,
like, what happened? Where am I? What's going on?
Where am I?
So, yeah. Okay, what was the name of that movie? What was the name of it? Did you say?
That was called The Power of the Heart.
The Power of the Heart. Yes. Awesome.
Really cool. Good movie. Really, really, like, if you want something uplifting, if you want something, I mean, it changes lives. It's like an amazing movie. Amazing movie.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you should definitely, definitely. I think actually, you know what I'll do? I'll send you a link, and I think you could watch it for free. Yeah, I think I still have some gift certificates or something. So I'll send that to you. Yeah.
Yeah, I would love that. Yeah. I think it'd be cool for people listening to the podcast, just go watch this, because like, that's a crazy story of how you got there. Like,
yeah. It was insane.
Yeah. Well, and when you stop that negative mentality that you're telling yourself all the time, like that you're not good enough, like I'm not getting these jobs, nobody cares about me. Like, it's crazy how much your own thoughts affect that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. What kind of actions can you take if you're thinking I'm not good enough, nothing ever happens? You're not going to take any bold actions. You're not going to do anything brave. You're not going to step out of your comfort zone. You need to literally be brainwashed to do those kind of crazy things. Oh, but the cool thing about that, so that was all amazing. But then I went to this film festival in Arizona to talk about the film. And I met this comedian there who was really dope. And then And I was talking about Bob Proctor. I'm like, oh my God, I love him so much. He does. And he's like, wait, I have him on my cell phone. And he's like, do, 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 do. And then he's like, I'm going to call Bob Proctor. And I was like, no, are you serious? And then he's like, oh, he probably won't pick up. He's like, do, do, do. And then he's like, and then all of a sudden I hear, hello? It was like Bob Proctor. And I was like, oh my God. And then, Kyle sent the guy, the comedian Kyle sent gave me the phone. And I told him, it doesn't make sense to anyone else but me. I said, I'm consciously aware I'm in a positive vibration. Like, that means I feel good. Like, but like, yes, that's exactly what's happening. And like, he's like, and he started laughing so hard. And then he gave me some free stuff, like his kind of courses or whatever. And I was like, oh my God. And I got to, yeah.
How amazing is that?
That was
stop.
Like, what? Yeah. So definitely brainwash yourself, guys.
That is so great. Well, and I think it can, I think I'm, as you're talking about this, I talk to teachers all the time who are like really frustrated with their administration or with the, just like the red tape or the lack of funding or just their community support. And I think that this stuff, like, what's the worst thing that can happen? That's what I always tell people. Like, what's the worst thing that can happen if you start doing this, like personal development or like self-empowerment? Like, what is the worst thing that can happen? Yeah. Can it possibly be worse than what it is right now? Yeah. Probably not. Like, the worst that can happen is nothing changes.
Absolutely.
The best that can happen is that you're able to build this program, or as a young person that you end up getting that starring role on Broadway or whatever that is for you. That's the best. But the worst is that you stay where you are.
Exactly. I feel just in making it simpler than actually anything happening is that you actually just feel better, which is the reason why we do anything anyway. We do anything in life to feel better. And if you could just find a way to feel better, then you've kind of cut out most of the nonsense in your life. So if you have a thought that makes you feel better, you're already winning. Because you're like, oh, I had a good minute today. I had a good hour today. I had a good day. Like, that is very precious to have a good day, you know?
Right. Gosh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So because my last question, well, maybe it's my last, I don't really know. one of my last questions. So I love this positive mindset and all the stuff that you're working on. And you've worked on a variety of different projects with different directors, with different folks like across the world. For the teachers that are listening, is there anything that you can recommend that they can add into their rehearsal practice or into their classroom practice that helps like encourage this kind of growth and mindset with their young people?
this sounds so cliche, but I would say starting with gratitude. What if if everyone maybe recited all together, you know, we're so thankful to be here. We get to live out our dreams. We're all amazing artists and we're so thankful for each other. Just if you start with that, you know, maybe like before your warm up, you're like, okay, guys, we're here. We're all thankful. Like everyone turn to each other and be like, you're amazing. You're amazing. You're great. Just like get all woo woo, get all crazy. just do it. And yeah, it feels weird, but then it feels so good. And then you feel closer to these people and you're not afraid as much to fall or, you know, mess up in front of them. Just I would have that beginning. Let's start with gratitude. We're so excited to be here. We're so excited to have you. We're all awesome. We're all artists. There's something inside of us that we want to share. If we just gave people that little permission to just let their real selves out, I think that could give way better performances. That would let people have a great experience in acting. You wouldn't feel so scared and negative. You know, that's what I would, just like little tidbit I would do. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's awesome too, because I think so many, especially like at the high school level, everybody's just like running in from their school day, which let's be real, school is always just like chaos and very rarely is a good day, especially if you're a teacher. So I think that that's a really great way to just like reset, be present. And also to get out of that mode of like yelling at the beginning of rehearsal, like, hey, everybody, like, yeah. shut up, come out of the stage. Or like starting with that, we are so behind, like yeah. all that negativity, which, man, I used to be that director so, so much. And I've like totally changed in the last 3 years because just super like unproductive. Like yeah. nobody grows in an environment of negativity.
No, no.
Including myself. Like I couldn't continue to do art if I was going to just be super negative and angry all the time. Yeah. I don't know how some people do it. Like I am fascinated to watch this Bob Fosse TV show because he was so mean. Like, well, you know, like he was like so hard on everybody. And I'm like, but he's like one of the biggest geniuses. And I'm like, I just am fascinated to see like, how did that work in like that negative environment, which I'm sure we'll get to see into maybe. Not, yeah. Who knows?
And but, to think like, what kind of genius could he have brought in if he was not like that? Like,
oh my gosh.
Like
yeah,
people were like, he was great, but now, what if they're like, he was just great and they didn't even have the
yeah.
but.
Right. I think that's so awesome. Yeah. I love that idea of starting out with gratitude. I think that's really amazing. Is there anything, like, if you could go back, this will probably be my last question before we, like, do that. How can we find out more about you? So if you could go back and tell your, like, 16-year-old or whatever age you really started to get into acting self, what would you tell yourself?
Oh, my God. I would definitely say you need to start, and you know how I use brainwashing. I would say you need to start brainwashing yourself early because there's a lot of influences. There's a lot of people who are telling you this and that. I would say don't be afraid to fail. It's inevitable, and it makes you stronger. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to take a long break after you fail and like just feel sorry for yourself. Just get up. You know that you're amazing. Know that you can keep going. I would say, like, you're beautiful right now. Don't worry about this fat, this hair, this whatever is bothering you that day. Don't worry about it. You're beautiful as you are. And I would say definitely keep in touch with a lot of the people along your way because they're the people who are going to ultimately help you along the way. There's just a lot of amazing people out there. And just have some grace and kindness to other people. Everyone is trying the best that they can. And just live like that.
I think that's so beautiful. And what a wonderful like note of happiness and like peace to end on. That's so great. Jamie, thank you so much for doing this podcast. Aww. I cannot wait for everybody to listen to it. So for those people that are interested in finding out more about Thespian Heart Clothing or just like about you and your work, like how can people find you?
Oh, absolutely. Well, if you want to know about Thespian Heart Clothing, what is the address? It's www.thespianheart.com. That's the clothing website. You can find my email there and just email me if you want to ask me any questions. I also have my personal site, which is www.jamieunlimited.org. If you want to see my reel or my resume, or you could just type in Jamie Ann Burke on Google and different things will come up. Hopefully nothing too scary.
I mean, you never know on the internet nowadays.
You right? never know. You're like, whoa, what was that?
right. Oh my gosh. I love this. No, I think follow. And you're also on Instagram, right? With Thespian Heart Clothing?
Yes. I love Instagram. Instagram is the best if you want to see all the different shirts that I put up on Instagram is the best. I have two Instagrams, one for Thespian Heart Clothing and one for Jamie A. Burke. So yes. have two of everything.
Yeah, go follow Jamie. Find out more. I love That's Mean Heart clothing. I have so many in my like cart that I'm going to buy. I was like, maybe I shouldn't just do it all at once. My husband might be like, "What are you doing?" But the one that I bought was "Take a Seat at the Table, Not at the Couch." Did I say it right?
Yeah, "Take a Seat at the Table and Decline the Couch." So that was all about the like casting couch, just being a strong woman, not worrying about, oh, I have to do sexual favors to get ahead. I just, you know, my take a seat at the table. Your ideas are important. Your artistry is important. So yeah, I love that you got that one. Yay.
I know. I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh, I totally need this. My dad was actually the only person that got the shirt, like without me having to explain it to them. And he was oh, that's a really great shirt. And I was like, yeah, I figure you probably would like that, Dad. all the connotations and stuff. But like, no, I think it's awesome. There's so much great stuff on there. I can't speak to it enough. Like, you have that awesome like mantra shirt for actors and actresses and artists, and then there's a ton of stuff for actresses and women on there, which is just awesome. So if you're going to give your money to small business, which we all should be doing, like go and support something that supports an actor, that supports an artist, and is like positive. So, and it's not just like the copied stuff that you see like all over, like you go on to Etsy and you can type in a phrase and you find 400 of them. Like this is all super original stuff and really high quality. And it came crazy fast. So now I'm just like doing an ad for Jamie.
Yeah.
Like I totally love it. I can't recommend it enough. And yeah, so find out more. And Jamie, thank you so much for spending part of your day with me.
Oh, I really appreciate you just letting me speak and putting me on your podcast. You've done so much for the community and just keep going. This is really, really amazing. Yeah.
Thank you
so much. Yeah.
Thanks. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Bye. Tuning into this week's episode. If you enjoyed it, I would love if you would leave us a review or rate us on iTunes or Stitcher, or share us with your friends on social media so that we are able to help spread the word around Flipping the Script and inspire people to make art that matters across the world. As a thank you for taking the time to review us and share us, each month I'm going to be giving away a theater swag gift basket. All that you need to do in order to win is just share us and review us, and every month I'm going to select a review or a share at random, read it on the air, and if it's yours, you will be the lucky winner of this awesome theater swag bag, which is going to have so much stuff in it that's like essential for the theater nerd, no matter if you're a teacher or student or just an enthusiast. If you want to find out more about Re Theater and our programs, our online classes, and our community for educators, just go to www.retheaterco.com. Theater is spelled with an R-E. Or you can follow us on Facebook at Re Theater. If you want to know about the work that I'm up to and find out more about Re Theater, you can follow me on Instagram. I'm there all the time giving out lots of tips and ideas and just sharing about how awesome theater education is. You can follow me at @Lindsay_CuiavaBar. If you have any questions about today's episode or thoughts you'd like to share with us, or maybe you have some topics you'd like to see us cover in the future, I would totally love to hear from you. You can send me an email anytime at lindsay@retheaterco.com. Just make sure you spell Lindsay, A-Y, and I look forward to hearing from you. As always, thanks for listening, and keep on making art that matters.